Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, November 24th, 2017. A South Sudanese Army General forms a new rebel group.
I will ally with the rest of the Southerners who are opposed with the Riek Machar and who are opposed to the regime in Juba. Riek Machar, we have nothing to do with him unless he attacks us.
And government forces and rebels fight over the control of Leir in the former Unity State.
In the morning of yesterday, at the same hour of 5:48, they also attacked our forces at the state headquarters. The confrontation, I think it lasted like about 30 to 38 minutes. It was a bit heavy.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A senior member of the SPLM-IO, loyal to Riek Machar, has formed a new rebel group. General Robert Roy Kwal Jal launched the National People's Alliance of South Sudan in Khartoum on Thursday. Roy says the SPLM-IO, under the leadership of former first vice president Riek Machar, is ineffective and has lost direction. He says his new group will work with other armed opposition groups to fight the Kiir administration.
My decision to leave the SPLM-IO is because Dr. Riek Machar, who is the leader of SPLM-IO, have turned the vision of the SPLM-IO into a different vision in which we, the founders of the SPLM-IO, whom went out from Juba against the regime in Juba in 2013, he doesn't listen to our advice.
You are saying that when you give advice to Dr. Riek Machar, he does not listen to you. What kind of advice have you given to him that he did not implement?
Okay, the movement have got no administration. He just do things in South Africa while he is in detention. Rest of the work have been done by his wife, who is now with you in America.
When I spoke to some SPLM-IO leaders, they said since you were appointed a shadow governor for Unity State, you did not step in Unity State. Instead, you are pursuing your studies in Khartoum, that you are going to university in Khartoum looking for a university degree.
That is a naked lie. When I was appointed on the 2nd December 2014, I was in the PN in 2015, 2016. Until when I came to Khartoum, for treatment, not for the school. When I had been in the hospital, he told me that to go to the PL, I told him that I was just have a car accident. And then when I finished my treatment, after that, he just leave me with a complaint of some his relative.
Let's talk about your new organization that you're calling National People's Alliance of South Sudan. And you're also saying you have a military wing called National People's Alliance Force of South Sudan. What are you up to?
Yes, I will ally with the rest of the Southerners who are opposed with the Riek Machar and who are opposed to the regime in Juba. Riek Machar, we have nothing to do with him unless he attacks us.
It sounds like you have a personal problem with Dr. Riek Machar. Am I wrong?
No, but I don't have any personal problem with Dr. Riek Machar. I've been with Dr. Riek Machar 31 years, and he doesn't understand me. If somebody, you have been with him for quite a period of time, and he doesn't get you, what else you do with him?
And how many people are members of this organization? Could you tell us a little bit more about your membership?
If you know the area of Unity State, the number I have in Unity State, as well as other area in South Sudan, there are more. I can't tell you the number of them, but there are more.
But why can't you tell me the number? Why can't you tell me the number? More is vague. More is relative. I mean, how many soldiers do you have?
No, in security, why you cannot. You cannot mention your forces number, whether big or medium or what. You cannot mention. But I've got a forces in South Sudan.
You mentioned in your press release that one of the reasons why you are forming your own group is because you want to, let me use your word, you want to overthrow the ethnocentric oppressive regime in Juba. You also talk about bringing genuine peace. You want to uphold human rights. You want to uphold basic freedoms and respect of rule of law, and you want a strong federal system. These are too many things on your plate, and given the situation in South Sudan, it sounds like you're just repeating what other people have said before.
No, of course, you see, South Sudan, as you know, that is in chaos by now, generally, but in the long run, when we are going to achieve the peace in South Sudan, we need to form a federal system. That's why I mentioned that.
Let's talk about your movement a little bit. You are saying that you want to fight what you are calling ethnocentric government in Juba. When I looked at the pictures taken today in Khartoum at the launch of your party, it appears that most of your followers are from your own community. Do you have any justification to call Juba ethnocentric?
No. The forces are not in Khartoum. The forces are in the PL. When I make a press release, how do you know those who were with me are all my tribe? No, this is not correct.
That's General Robert Roy Kwal Jal, leader of a new rebel group, the National People's Alliance of South Sudan. He was speaking with me from Khartoum on Thursday. A member of the SPLM-IO Machar faction says General Robert Roy Kwal, who was once SPLM-IO shadow governor of Unity State, has no followers in South Sudan. Angelina Tench says Roy's allegations are what she called rubbish. She said the SPLM is active in South Sudan despite its isolation and the absence of Riek Machar.
I would really want to rubbish that. A statement that just came from Comrade Robert Roy. I'll call him Comrade Robert Roy because, you know, we worked together from Juba in 2013 all the way to Gadiang, and he was evacuated from Gadiang and became part of the peace talks and so on and so forth. So for that, I have a great respect for him. But I want to say that what he said has no place. It is not true. Riek Machar is not planning to make me the chairperson of the SPLM-IO. I'm a member of the leadership of the SPLM-IO. I lead a committee. I was part of the peace team that negotiated the axis. But I have to say this, and it's not only in IO. I think it's an issue that we are facing as women. Women leaders do have problems, and we do have the same issues that we are facing in IO. I'm a person who speaks my mind, who says what I think, who express myself, who have views, and have a vision about South Sudan. That's why I've been fighting all my life for this country. A lot of men find it very difficult to stomach.
Some of the reasons that he was giving is that he said Dr. Riek is confined to house arrest in South Africa, and the SPLM-IO as a movement has been reduced to a WhatsApp movement. Those are his words. And he said for that reason, he does not want to associate himself with the movement where the commander-in-chief is only communicating through WhatsApp. He's not on the ground where action is taking place. What is your reaction to that?
My reaction is that means of communication are means of communication. It is true we do have difficulties as an organization, and we are expressing this, that we do need opportunities to engage because we are a talking party. Remember before the axis was signed and before we went to Juba, we were in Pagak and we were always having meetings, we were discussing things and so on and so forth. Right now we will use whatever means that we get as an organization. It is not only our leader that is absent. The region has become very difficult for opposition. You know, some of our members were arrested in Kenya and deported to Juba. So as IO leadership, we're scattered all over the world. We find whatever means for us to communicate so that we engage and we continue engaging. And this is why we always call it, let me say, the unlawful detention of our chairman in South Africa, but also the total isolation of IO, because the idea was initially is that if you isolate IO, if you take away Riek Machar, in the interest of peace, peace will come to South Sudan. And that has been a year and plus now, since 2016. What have we seen? We have seen exodus of people leaving the country. We have seen more suffering. We have seen more deaths. We have now a proven genocide in South Sudan that have taken place during that time. So the absence of Riek Machar, the isolation of IO, brought more suffering.
Let's talk about the isolation of SPLM-IO. How has that impacted on the party itself or the movement itself? I mean, it's almost a year now that I don't hear anything from the leadership of the SPLM-IO.
Well, if there's anybody resisting on the ground right now, it's IO. On the ground, I doubt if you can say that IO doesn't exist, because who else exists? If we're talking that there is war going on and that this war needs to end, who else is fighting that war? Of late, you're hearing in Unity State, things are happening. People are resisting. Who's doing it? It is IO. You know, isolation is difficult. But because these are people with a cause.
There was a recent statement made by one of your spokesperson in Nairobi who told a media outlet there that the Troika countries are saying that Dr. Riek Machar will not be part of the revitalization forum in Ethiopia. Could you shed more light on that?
I think that was a misquotation, because what he had said is that we have no official communication from anyone that Dr. Riek would not be a part of the process. However, there was a statement by the IGAD envoy, and I think it was on your show, when he said that Dr. Riek would not be there physically, but he would be represented. That has not been communicated to us. Our view is that IO is free to choose who negotiates on his behalf.
That's Angelina Teng, senior member of the SPLM-IO and wife of the former first Vice President Riek Machar. She was speaking to me from Omaha, Nebraska, yesterday. The South Sudan Army says government forces are fighting rebels in 7 of the country's 32 states this week. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs have evacuated 21 aid workers from Leir in former Unity State following renewed clashes between South Sudan Army and rebels loyal to Riek Machar. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Juba.
South Sudan military spokesman Brigadier General Lul Roy Kwang accused SPLA-IO, loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar, for attacking government positions at Leir, Rukwei, Nasir, and Bore in Amadi State. Kwang claims government forces killed more than 20 rebel fighters across the country over the last 5 days, including General Anyar, commander of the new rebel group, the Pan-African National Guards in Western Lake State.
This person started his subversive activities way back in May and June, and he started by recruiting some youth from Eastern Barnam, Amongping, and Paluch, as well as Rumbek Central.
Wong says government are monitoring rebel fighters in Lasu, Ambashe, and Kajukeji in Yei River State. He downplays the latest attacks on government positions across the country.
But they are just trying to send alarm to register their presence, even if they are not effective and efficient wherever they are.
The security advisor for Southern Liech State, Lam Yach, is accusing opposition forces of attacking Rukwei County on Sunday. Yach says the rebels overpowered government forces in Rukwei. He says 3 government soldiers were killed and 4 others wounded during an attack earlier this week.
In the morning of yesterday, at the same hours of 5:48, they also attacked our forces at the state headquarters, where, of course, the confrontation, I think it lasts like about 30 to 38 minutes. It was a bit heavy. They were repulsed, of course, after that fight. Our forces repulsed them. They left 16 of their man's
dead. SPLA-IO Deputy Military Spokesman Lam Paul Gabriel told South Sudan in Focus that his forces were provoked by government troops at Leir. Gabriel claims rebel fighters are in control of Leir town.
We're coming towards the dry season, and the government thinks that, okay, during this dry season is their time to launch offensive. They attack our base in Leir, trying to push us towards Mayendi. That was the day for yesterday, so we decided to fight back. And we entered the town yesterday, and after today, our forces are inside Leir.
Officials in Southern Liech State say the rebels are not in control of Leir. Yach says many aid agencies left Lier due to the fighting between government forces and SPLA-IO.
Many of the other NGOs have evacuated. DDG, I think DDG is Danish the mining group, and there was also ICRC. Someone told me that they have evacuated their staff.
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA in Juba, confirmed that aid workers have been evacuated from Lier following Wednesday fighting. SPLA-IO deputy military spokesman is warning aid workers to leave the areas where rebels and government troops are fighting.
When there is war going on, we still don't advise civilians to be around because we know how the government operates. The government like killing civilians, they like raping women. They don't care about humanitarian agencies. They kill them. It has happened on several locations.
This new round of fighting is another violation of cessation of hostilities signed by government and rebels loyal to Riek Machar in August 2015. Both sides have been blaming each other for many attacks across the country. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations recently said that South Sudan's government is responsible for the country's brutal four-year conflict and that the U.S. should exert its influence to end the fighting. At least one analyst says he appreciates Nikki Haley's hard-hitting remarks. Carol Van Damme has more for VOA from Washington.
Ambassador Haley said South Sudan is a tragic case of shattered dreams and unrealized potential. She said both the government and its armed opponents are guilty of recruiting child soldiers and engaging in other forms of violence.
The government is engaged in a brutal, protracted military campaign against a fragmented opposition. The divisions are tribal. Both sides are responsible for atrocities against civilians. But the government is primarily responsible for ethnically based killings and for deliberately blocking the delivery of humanitarian assistance to suffering people.
Haley said she was not prepared for the level of suffering she saw while visiting South Sudanese refugee camps in neighboring Ethiopia recently.
Nothing prepares you for it. I had been to refugee camps before for Syrian refugees in both Jordan and Turkey. But the South Sudanese refugees live in conditions that make the camps in Jordan and Turkey look like luxury resorts.
Haley said she heard gruesome stories of suffering that no human being should ever have to go through, including one story she'll never forget.
One woman told me about being gang raped. She told me about how the soldiers ripped her baby out of her arms and threw him in a fire. And then they forced her to eat the flesh of her own child.
Some South Sudanese observers doubt the truthfulness of that account. They say refugees sometimes exaggerate their stories to gain the attention of the international community and receive more humanitarian aid.
There's always that possibility. But I also want to be realistic about some of the atrocities that have been committed during this conflict. I think personally, after having studied this conflict for a while now, that it is not out of the realm of possibility that such activities may have occurred. Nevertheless, we need more documentation.
That's Brian Adeba, Deputy Director of Policy for the Enough Project. Adeba says the first step should be for the international community to exert its leverage to stop the fighting.
The United States has a lot of leverage that it has not used previously, and that needs to happen at the moment. And one of these things we're saying, to stop this war, we really need to make sure that those who are behind it begin to feel the consequences of their actions.
Haley says she remains critical of Mr. Kiir, even though the president is a former rebel leader who has endured hardships in his own family.
While I could have some sympathy for his past, there's only revulsion and disgust with what he has allowed to happen and with what he has himself done to the people of his country.
Adeba praises Haley's straightforward approach with the president, saying it's important for the U.S. to flex its muscles and threaten action.
So there is the multilateral side of it, and then there's the unilateral side of it. The unilateral side of it has a lot of potential, because when we talk about corruption and enacting financial measures, we're hitting these people in their pockets.
Adeba says that's where the U.S. has a lot of power and can go it alone without having to depend on multilateral efforts in the U.N. Security Council, where similar efforts have failed in the past. Carol Van Damme for VOA News, Washington.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, police in Maridi State fight crimes against minors. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you keep your shoes clean during rainy season?
I'm always careful when I'm moving around, because you'll find that even it's not always during rainy season that the shoes can only get dirty, even during the dry season. But all in all, it's always being careful of the way you move.
Just move in a way that they will not get dirty. Where you see water or dust or mud, you don't pass there.
I have to make sure that at least I move with a cloth or a handkerchief, so that any time they are dirty, or if I'm moving from my hostel to the lecture room, by the time I reach the lecture room, I have something to clean my shoes.
If I have only one pair of shoes, I'll be putting on it for a short while. I go clean it immediately, either by washing or brushing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Maridi State have launched a special unit within the police to deal with gender-based violence. Activists in Maridi County say rape and other types of gender-based violence are on the rise and hope that the new protection unit will help to provide justice for the victims. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba.
A 14-year-old rape victim in Maridi State, whom we shall refer to as Mary, says she was gang raped by a group of boys when she was going back home from a nearby place where people gather to watch TV at night. Speaking in Arabic, Mary says, they started pulling me around and they dragged me into one of the houses. One guy named Karaba called on their other friends to join them. They started tearing up my clothes and they raped me. There were seven of them. Mary says, many girls like her have experienced the same thing in Maridi. Wadalla Peter is the executive director of the local advocacy organization Maridi Service Agency, or MSA. Peter says, between January and October, police recorded 38 cases of rape.
According to the statistics we got from the police station, since January up to end of October, there are 38 cases of rape that has happened in Maridi. About 70% of all these included the minors, that means children who are underage.
Police launched the special gender unit after more than 2 months of advocacy by Maridi civil society activists.
I want to urge our police and our government, not only in Maridi but also in other states and other counties, to really work hard to allow women and children to access justice and be protected. Justice is not a privilege. It is neither a favor from anybody, but it is a right that every citizen of South Sudan needs to get.
Bodi Michael is the Minister of Local Government and Law Enforcement in Maridi State. He says he has been receiving many complaints from citizens, journalists, and authorities in Juba about the rampant gender-based crimes in his state.
By opening this office today, it is going to reduce our problems, and it will also reduce a lot of calling from Juba. So we are happy. On top of that, we register sincere thanks to the MSA, because I think they made the lead in this work.
Michael says a gender desk was established as a police department in Maridi in 2012, but a year later it was closed because of lack of resources.
Our police have a problem capacity. We need to build them up. We need to train them.
Michael says his government will work with civil society groups to educate the population about how to prevent gender-based violence and help victims come forward and report crimes committed against them so that justice can be done. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
A family of 9 Sudanese refugees ranging in ages from 8 to 84 is discovering an entirely new life in the farmlands of rural Virginia after being persecuted for their Christian faith. VOA's congressional reporter Catherine Gibson visited the family's new church to talk to the once-imprisoned pastor. In his first interview since being freed, Hassan Abdulrahim talks about his ordeal, which ended after a U.S. lawmaker reached out to Khartoum.
Old hymns in unfamiliar English. Just 6 weeks in the United States, Hassan Abdulrahim can just follow along. He's learning the hymns his new neighbors already know. And with his family at his side, sharing their hymns.
Hey, Michael. Morning.
Your daughter has a really pretty voice.
Savoring a moment of peace he still can't believe is possible.
The first day when they took us to the prison, they beat us.
Pastors like Hassan aren't outlawed in his native Sudan, but Christians are an endangered minority. He says he lived with the possibility of prison every day. Of all the hardships, interrogations and tiny prison cells, Hassan says the worst was not knowing.
It was a very hard time for me, thinking of my family, because I don't know anything about them.
But even a 12-year prison sentence for espionage couldn't shake his faith.
No one told me that, but I have the peace. There's something going outside, but I don't know.
Far from Sudan, a Facebook post telling Hassan's story was reaching the right person.
I didn't know any better, so I got in my car with my letter that I'd written and drove to the Sudanese embassy.
It was the first time a member of Congress had spoken to the Sudanese government in 10 years. After a lot of work and a trip to Sudan, Garrett worked with NGOs to secure Hassan's release.
I commend the Sudanese government to the extent that they were willing to acknowledge that mistakes have been made in the past and that there's a need to reassess how religious minorities are treated. That's progress.
Hassan and his family visited Washington to see the man responsible for their new life.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, it's great seeing you guys.
It meant a lot to them and to the congressman.
You can love a bill. You can advocate on behalf of a bill. You can believe in a bill, but you can't say a prayer with a bill, have dinner with a bill, shake hands with a bill. And it was sort of surreal.
As strange as leaving the streets of Khartoum for Garrett's Virginia district, where five churches worked together to set up Hassan and his family with a home on the farm of their new pastor, surrounded by fields where the family will soon see snow for the first time. So many changes, but all grounded by a father's certainty.
Even though it is hard for us to leave the country, but I think it is also better. I don't want them to grow there and then to go through a lot of difficulty that I went through it. So here I know, here they can have chance.
A chance made possible by churches and a congressman. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Cumberland, Virginia.
Shack upon the beats. That's our show for this Friday. We will leave you with this song, Bagara Dance, by Manasi Matian. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We would like to know what you think about our show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on the Facebook. Our name on the Facebook is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Just to a side of, ah, 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 ah.
ingisha hadi masensha isha tunazikwenda kesho linatiririka
teacher one who does